Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying around with us, those of you who have been listening already. And those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. I'm excited about having Dolph DeRoos back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Dolph DeRoos is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is one of our top, he's one of the world's top experts on buying real estate. And he's written so many books on the topic, including Real Estate Riches, 100 Ways to massively increase the value of your real estate. Also, Making Money in Real Estate and Real Estate Investing and Management. And these are just four of the books that I happen to have. I think he's written some others. He speaks all over the world. He helps people. Many of you have heard his commercials on different venues, different outlets, and he's the real thing. Dolph, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's a real pleasure.
It's good to have you back, as always. Thank you for slowing down in your very busy schedule and spending a little time with us. A few things have changed, Dolph, since the last time you were here. The last time you were here, interest rates were low. And the real estate economy was just literally on fire. Now, since you were here last, interest rates have gone up quite a bit, and we keep hearing about real estate bubbles, and we keep hearing about the real estate industry slacking, you know, easing off some. The construction is down, et cetera, et cetera. What's the news? What is it from the real world out there where you are?
Well, firstly, your observations are accurate. Interest rates are up a little bit, and construction has slowed. The number of homes on the market right now has increased significantly. But you know what? This is good. I applaud this. I've been waiting for this to happen. What I find humorous and totally misleading is this notion that the bubble is about to burst.
Right.
In fact, Jim, the question, when will the bubble burst, I think is arrogant, because it assumes that there's a bubble to burst in the first place. I'm not convinced there is a bubble.
No.
And here's my reasoning. When you consider that the stock market may go down by 20 or 30% in a week, just through its natural gyrations up and down, and then the pundits are saying things like, well, there's been a minor correction in the stock market. However, we believe that when the new job statistics come out and the quarterly reports that this, you know, the slack will be taken up or whatever. And yet when real estate comes off the top, Jim, by a mere 2 or 3%, all the pundits are saying, oh, no, the market's crashing. There's a builder we know. He's gone under. Poor Mrs. Jones bought a house at $360,000, and now she can barely get $350,000 for it. What does DeRoos have to say about that? I mean, there's pandemonium and panic in the streets just because it's come off by a 1 or 2 percentage points. I think the market was too hot. As an investor, I don't like it when, as the expression goes, every man and his dog is getting in on the market.
Right.
Because people are paying crazy prices for things that perhaps aren't even worth it.
Mm-hmm. And let me say this, Dolph, and I don't think you'll be surprised to hear me say this, but I've been every week whenever I've had experts on the show, whenever I've, you know, other organizations have predicted the Fed or Kiplinger or whoever have talked about bubbles, you know, I've stayed here every week and said, you know what, there is not a national real estate bubble. There might be a real estate bubble in three blocks in South Beach. There might be a real estate bubble in a 2 square mile area in Las Vegas or whatever. But in terms of a national bubble, it's ridiculous. There isn't one.
Right. No, that's exactly right.
Let alone is one going to burst. So
right.
Why are we worried about stuff like that? I mean, and in fact, if you took 100% of the hot spots, the places that you thought that you mentioned had overheated, if you took 100% of those areas, and if every one of those areas, the real estate prices collapsed by 50%. In every one of those areas, the national economy wouldn't even be a little ripple in the national economy.
Well, Jim, you are so right. And I came across an interesting statistic which I'd never heard before, and that is that since the Great Depression, the average price of real estate in the United States has never gone down in a year. It's always crept up. Every year, despite the oil crisis of 73, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the First Gulf War, the Second Gulf War, impeachments of presidents, and resignations of presidents, despite all those tumultuous events, the price on average has always gone up. Now, regionally, it may have gone down for a particular year, but again, when you look at any region, Jim, you will not find a region in this country where at the end of 10 years, prices were lower than at the beginning.
And there have been, there are some locales, there are some cities, some pockets where prices have declined because of a 10-year or whatever period where industry left that area and they were trying to resurrect themselves. When we come back, folks, we're going to find out where to go with real estate. Now we've been talking about where we've been. Dolph is going to help us understand where we should be going in the 21st century with our real estate investments. It's 20 Till. We'll be right back with Dolph DeRoos. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to remind you that I will be in Washington, D.C. later this week. Actually, Thursday, Friday, I'll be broadcasting from Washington, D.C., and I'm going to be attending the Women Impacting Public Policy event on Thursday. On Friday, I'm going to be with the U.S. Chamber as they celebrate small businesses and announce the Small Business Winner of the Year. I'll be moderating a panel there at that conference on Friday, and so I'm looking forward to that. Washington, D.C., I'm giving you a fair warning. I'll be there tomorrow. And we're visiting good folks with our good friend Dr. Dolph DeRoos. He's one of the world's experts on real estate investing. He's written so many books, sold something under a billion copies, all of his books have. And on real estate, and Dolph, how many books have you written?
You know, I just finished my 10th book 2 days ago.
Wow. And I only have 4, so I'm missing 6 somehow.
Oh, I'm going to have to send them to you.
And I do want that new one for sure. Give us your website, and I know you have a program that you offer to folks to help them become smarter as real estate investors.
That's right. Well, the website is www.dolphderoos.com. DolphDeRoos.com. Just do a Google search on Dolph, D-O-L-F, and it'll pop up there the first time.
Right.
And yes, we have a number of programs. We've got a software program to help people decide whether it's a good deal or not. A lot of people get the idea, Jim, that real estate investing is good. They get the bug, and they start looking at 3 or 4, and they find a couple of properties that they think is good, but they don't know if it's a good deal. And because real estate tends to be such a large investment compared with, you know, your furniture or your TV set, they lose confidence, and they don't go ahead. So this software program is called REAP, Real Estate Acquisition Program. It really helps you decide, should I buy this or should I not buy it? And then we have a number of other programs, audio programs and things like that.
At DolphDeRoos.com. They can find all that there.
That is correct, yes.
All right. Dolph, what do you recommend for going forward now in 2006 with interest rates as they are, with the economy? Where are the opportunities? What should we be doing?
Well, here's the good thing about rising interest rates. A lot of people who before thought, instead of being a tenant, I'm just going to buy something, it's cheaper. Even though they don't know quite what they're doing, even though they can't quite afford the mortgage, what's happening is most people got a 3 or a 5 year ARM, which means at the end of 3 or 5 years...
Adjustable rate mortgage.
Yeah, the interest rate goes to an adjustable rate. It goes to the then floating rate. And since rates have increased, they might have been paying, let's say, $1,100 a month, and suddenly they're going to be presented with a bill for $1,500 or $1,600 a month. They won't be able to afford it. So we're going to see a massive rise in the number of foreclosures.
Well, I see that's the problem that I think that Mr. Greenspan and others, when they've talked about bubbles, you know, what they really have been worried about, and I felt like they should have spent more time being specific about their concern, and that is that all these people who got into real estate, maybe they got one of these stupid 120% of mortgages where you actually borrowed more than the property's worth,
right?
And all that kind of thing, or they used all their equity up with an equity loan and they went out and blew the money or whatever. Now they're going to have, as you say, the interest rates are going to be going up and there are going to be a lot of defaults. That's where the concern is, and that is a real concern for the economy, isn't it?
Well, it's a concern for the people who did these things.
Right.
But there will always be investors in the wings who will take up the slack. So here's the good thing. I think if you're buying real estate now, you should absolutely fix your interest rate. We can still fix our interest rate for 30 years and even 40 years. So don't be tempted to get perhaps a third of a percentage point lower interest rate, but it's going to go floating or it's going to vary again after a year.
That's penny wise and pound foolish, isn't it?
That is absolutely right. It's short-term gain for long-term loss. Just fix your interest rate. That's a very smart thing to do. The second thing is, unlike just about any other investment, when it comes to real estate, you can choose your real estate where you have higher than average growth. And let me explain what I mean by that. If you and I, right today, Jim, we're going to buy some stocks on the stock market, how would we choose a stock that we would know would grow at faster than the average for the stock market? It's impossible to know. But with real estate, not only is it possible, it's easy. And that is that real estate is so slow to change that we know that if a particular region of the country for the last 5 years has had a higher than average growth, there is a very strong likelihood that it will continue to have a higher than average growth today. We just need to look at top cities or bottom cities for that matter, or average cities. An average city, I don't know the stats, but Boise, Idaho, beautiful place, but I think it's sort of got average growth. It has been average for a long time. It will be average for a long time. Other places have below average growth. No offense to Pennsylvania, but there are parts of Pennsylvania where there are steel mills and things that have closed down. They've got lower than average growth. Los Angeles, San Diego, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Atlanta, just to give five examples, these have all had two or three or four times the national average growth.
Right.
I mean, Phoenix here where I'm based, last year it grew at 43%. Now, that was a lot more than the year before. The year before, it was only, in quotes, 38%.
Right.
But these things are consistent. Will it be 38% this year? I'm not so sure, but I bet you it's going to be higher than average.
So you need to know these things before you know where you're going and to help you make your decisions in purchasing. But let's get back to the foreclosures. How do we buy a property out of foreclosure? What's your recommendation?
Well, my recommendation is to not buy in foreclosure because then the bank's got hold of it and legally it's getting quite complex. I like what's called pre-foreclosure. And pre-foreclosure specifically is from the day that a bank sends out a document called a notice of default. It's typically called an NOD and it's an official document. You can look these up on the web or get lists that tell you which people have gone into pre-foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
So from the date the NOD is sent out until it goes into foreclosure, because at this stage, in this period, it usually lasts about 90 days, the owners of the property are reasonably motivated not to go into foreclosure because that's very bad for your FICO score. So very often you can help them out and get a reasonably good deal for yourself.
I'm going to get you to explain how that works when we come back right after these messages, how you actually contact those people. Right after these messages, we'll do that, folks. This could be opportunity for you. 10 till. We'll be right back with Dr. Roos. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're talking with Dr. Roos about investing in real estate. He's the real estate guy, and folks, Dolph's the real deal. I know that you have a lot of opportunities to consider real estate, people who want to help you get rich in real estate and all that, but I will tell you that Dolph's the real deal, and we've done some research on him. We don't introduce you to people if we haven't decided that what they do and what they offer isn't good for you or to listen to or to consider their products, and I certainly encourage you to, if you need help, if you need someone to take your hand and lead you through the process a little bit, I want to recommend Dolph to you, and Dolph, for all you do for America's small businesses, I appreciate that.
Oh, you are so welcome, and thanks for that. I appreciate the feedback. We do like helping people, though. Real estate is not about ripping someone off. You can often help all parties involved.
That's right.
And what we were talking about a moment ago, pre-foreclosure is a prime example.
Yeah, you talk about those letters that go out. Are you saying we can go online and find out who's getting a letter?
Yes, you can often do it online, depending on the county you're in. I know in Las Vegas there's a newspaper called the Las Vegas Daily Legal News. It has all the births, the deaths, the marriages, the divorces, and the NODs that have been sent out.
Wow.
But then there are list brokers on the Internet who will give you a daily update of these lists. Now, in Vegas, and I don't know if you remember this, Jim, but I set out to buy one house.
You told us about that, and you did it. You actually bought more than that, didn't you?
Well, we did it within 9.5 months, so that was kind of fun. But in Las Vegas, we would get notices of default lists every day, and the average was 54 a day. Well, it's impossible for a single person or, you know, two or three people even, to go and look at 54 homes every day, just driving across town to find them. There are too many. So there's a greater supply than you could possibly ever need. So that's one way of finding them. But another way to do it, Jim, is simply to run an ad in the paper and say something like, we help people with homes that are in trouble.
Right.
By the way, it's always the homes that are in trouble, never the person. Never say, hey, are you in trouble?
Right.
It's the home. And, you know, very often when you go and see someone about their home that's in pre-foreclosure and you say, hey, I hear this home's in trouble, very often they'll say, no, it's not, and they'll slam the door in your face, and then 3 weeks later you see they've gone into foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
But other times they'll say...
But how do you have a conversation with people like that?
Well, it goes like this. You say, oh, I hear your home's in trouble. Yeah, it is. We got overextended. We're now 4 months behind in our rent, and we're really scared because if we go into foreclosure, our credit's shot for 10 years. And then I say, well, I'm not sure if I can help you, but if I could, how would that look? And they might say, look, we just want to get out of this thing. If you pay the backlog of the mortgage, we'll quit claim deed the property to you. We'll just deed it to you. We're out of here.
Right.
So you can pick up this home for the sake of 4 or 5 months backlog of mortgage. That's one scenario. Now, how does it benefit these people? They're already in the hole. They're financially, you know, they're kind of...
They've resigned themselves. They're going to have to move. They know they're going to have to move out of the house.
Right.
And so, but you know, and if you want to move it along a little quicker, is just say, look, I'll pay the backlog and I'll write you a check for $1,000 right now or something like that.
Oh, yeah, we'd typically pay them an extra $5,000 or $8,000 so that they can move back to wherever they want to move to.
Right.
And then I'll say, Jim, very quickly, I say, would you mind staying on the mortgage? And they say, stay on the mortgage? I can't afford this mortgage in the first place. What do you mean? And I'll say, no, I'll pay the mortgage for you. And they say, well, why would you do that? And I say, well, that way your credit score will go back through the roof while I pay the mortgage. And they'll say, really, you'll do that? And I say, yes, and they get suspicious. And they say, well, why are you being this nice?
But you've got the deed.
I've got the deed, and I'll say to them, I'm doing this because if you stay on the mortgage, I don't need to apply for a new one. I don't spend 3 weeks applying, filling out forms, getting an appraisal done, putting in a 20% down payment.
Right.
And
at what point do you get them off the mortgage?
Well, within a year or so, I get the house reappraised because when you first buy it, the bank always takes the lesser of the purchase price or the appraisal.
Right.
But after a year, the banks will accept the appraisal. So if it's worth more than I've agreed to pay for it,
mm-hmm.
I can get the full purchase price back. The seller's credit score has gone through the roof. So think about it. They were facing foreclosure.
You've made a lot of people happy, didn't you, in a year?
And I get Christmas cards from people that I helped.
Right.
I mean,
and then you rent the property, which hopefully pays the mortgage.
That is right.
Yep.
That is right. And that's it's as simple as that. And, you know, we explain this in one of the books, 52 Homes in 52 Weeks, this whole procedure as to how you can attract people to you. You can run an ad in the community notice board at a library saying, if your home's in trouble, I'll talk about it free on Wednesday night. And then people come along and you might pick up one or two homes that way.
Right.
You can put signs on lampposts if it's even in your county.
Rudolph, I've got to wrap it up. I want you to give us your website one more time, please.
It's dolfderoos.com, dolfderoos.com.
Folks, check that out when you get a chance. And if you need help with your real estate investing, then I think Dolph's the guy to help you with that. Hey, Dolph, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
It's been a real pleasure, Jim. We'll talk to you next time.
We'll look forward to it. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program really is for you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.